The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan, and on the Breakfast Grill with us today is Zaida Mohamed Issa, Director of Jabatan Integriti dan Tadbir Urus, or the National Integrity and Good Governance Department under the Prime Minister's Department. Now, tomorrow is International Anti-Corruption Day. Thank you very much for joining us and helping us advance the conversation on the fight against corruption, as well as the broader question of integrity and governance in our country. Now, if you have any questions or comments for our guests this morning, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. That's 018-789-8899. Be part of this conversation. Puan Zaida, I want to begin with the question of corruption, because of course it's a hot topic, and I know your department is not limited to the question of corruption, and it's a broader issue, but it is the thing that occupies a lot of our concerns. And just this week, the conversation about corruption was dominated by talk about 1MDB, and you know, this time sparked by comments by the US Attorney General Jeff Sessions at the Global Forum on Asset Recovery. Now, Sessions had referred to 1MDB as the worst case of kleptocracy. This got a response from JASA, or the Bahagian Komunikasi Strategic. Do you find that these kinds of especially highly politicized exchanges helpful in the work that you do, or do you find it muddies the water?
Thank you very much, Sharad and Business Station, for having us today to speak a lot on this agenda of integrity and governance that the country has embarked into since 2009. I would go further to your question later, but first let me share with you on what are the evolutions that the government has done so far in terms of managing integrity and governance in the country. Actually, the effort started in 2009 when the government launched the Government Transformation Program in 2009, and then it went on into the appointment of a specific minister, Yang Berhormat Senator Datuk Paul Lau Seng Kwan, to be in the office, to be in charge of integrity, governance and also human rights in 2013. And quite recently, After that, they have actually established one division under the Prime Minister's office. It is to tackle on the issues of National Key Results Area on anti-corruption. And recently, on the 28th of July 2017, the Cabinet Ministers have already approved on the establishment of a new department. It's called Jabatan Integriti dan Tadbir Urus Negara.
I can stop you right there. Yeah. It's very interesting because there was this history is actually fascinating for several reasons. There was a kind of pushback initially on this, and in fact, Dato' Paul Lau, as you mentioned just now, who was a minister in the Prime Minister's Department, said that Jabatan Integriti Tadbir Urus was not set up to control the MACC, and this was the charge leveled again. There was in fact some NGOs that had come out, and you know, I've got some of the clippings where they said they will continue to protest until the JITN would be, you know, shut down. Now, that was very political. Why was that so much anxiety about the establishment of this Jabatan?
Actually, when we started these efforts to fight, to work for integrity, better integrity and governance in the country, it should be seen as a separate exercise, you know, it's a separate exercise and it's a separate entity from the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission. You know, they are very established and their role are very different, and it's enacted in their act, whereby JITN is Jabatan Integriti and Tadbir Urus Negara. We focus on the efforts, on the initiatives to improvise integrity and governance, both in public and also in the private sector.
Have you been able to allay the concerns and fears of those groups? I believe they protested, they carried banners. Has this all stopped? Have their plans to actually close down the JITN actually
failed?
No,
we have actually established JITN. We have formalized the department, and we are in the exercise of firming up the structure and also the functions. So it's already there. JITN has already been established.
And the pushback, has it stopped? Has it quietened down?
That one, I'm not sure.
Okay, so, you know, maybe you can help us understand the distinctions that need to be made. Because we invited you here today, partly because we want to acknowledge that, you know, tomorrow is a World Anti-Corruption Day. And I take your point that, you know, the question of integrity and good governance goes beyond the question of corruption or the absence of corruption. But how do we make that distinction? You've said there's an institutional distinction. MACC is essentially in charge of corruption. JITN is in charge of integrity. But what does integrity then mean?
All right. Generally, JITN is given the responsibility to promote good governance, integrity, and also we also take care of issues on human rights in the public sector and also where appropriate to do likewise in the private sector. And in doing so, we will do a collaboration with other non-government organizations. And we also must take note that good governance involves more than the prevention of corruption. I think most of us will understand that, you know, governance integrity involves more than prevention of corruption, but it also includes ethical conduct of stakeholders, sustainable development, and also complying to acceptable human rights practices.
Now, okay, can I ask you, what is the state of play? I mean, if we're going to say the Jabatan has been created, it's been elevated and it's given more powers and maybe more resources, is it because there is a feeling that in terms of these issues, in terms of integrity, in terms of good governance, we're failing, or that there's a deep structural weakness that needs to be addressed?
Yeah, I have to disagree with you on that, because we don't see the weaknesses, but we see that there is a need to strengthen the accountability, the institutionalizing accountability, and also to ensure that there is a separation of role between the function of enforcement and also the function of prevention. And at the same time, we are distinguishing the role of the commission and also from us. So you must, you know, people must be clearly understand that JITN is actually to institutionalize the management of integrity and also governance in the country.
Is there a dialogue between your department, your Jabatan, and the MACC? Is there, you know, have you been able to allay their fears? Because I believe statements were coming out of MACC as well during the initial period. Is there a dialogue, institutional dialogue in government to make sure that everybody is aligned?
When we want to establish JITN, we have actually circulated all the concerns. We have circulated the papers, you know, for the establishment to all the agencies relevant to the establishment of this new department.
And they give feedback?
They also give their feedbacks, and we have addressed their feedbacks and give the response to the cabinet before it was being, you know, being tabled to the cabinet.
What is most of the feedback about? I mean, what are they most concerned about?
On the functions and also on the structure.
So are they concerned perhaps on questions of overlap, that there might be overlapping functions, for instance?
There was a concern about that, but JITN is established not to overlap any of the department's functions already established in the government. So we are doing functions of integrity and governance, to improvise integrity and governance. This department has been there since 2010, when it was put under this unit, National Key Results Area, and it was put under SPRM. And then further to that, in 2015, it was separated from SPRM and becomes a division under the Prime Minister's Department. So we continue to do the same function, but we enhance the role of integrity and governance, and also to include the human rights.
Could you give us a sense of the kind of budget allocation that the Jabatan, the JTI, TN has, you know, how much resources, how much muscle is behind JITN?
Well, we don't have that enough staff so far. We will
so people
do the
can apply.
No, we do the recruitment through the JPA. But we are operating with 887 integrity units all over the country. So we have that muscles to strengthen our role to improvise integrity and governance.
I'm speaking to Puan Zaida Mohamed Isa, Director of the Jabatan Integriti dan Tadbir Urus, or National Integrity and Good Governance Department, under the Prime Minister's Department. Next, we learn more about how the Jabatan works, and also the question of public perceptions of the Jabatan, and also the question of good governance. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan. And if you just joined us, tomorrow is International Anti-Corruption Day. And our guest today is Puan Zaida Mohamed Isa, Director of Jabatan Integriti Tadbir Urus, or JITN, or the National Integrity and Good Governance Department under the Prime Minister's Department. If you have any questions or comments, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. That's 018-789-8899. In fact, we do have... Puan Zaida, we have a comment here on Twitter from Amril Malik. He says, transparency is part of good governance. How transparent is our government?
Well, thank you for the question, Mr. Amrin. Transparent has to do a lot with trust. Yeah, and trust is very crucial for the legitimacy and also sustainability of government system. And we believe that surveys have also shown that perception of corruption is the most influential driver of trust in government. Yeah, and therefore, it is seen as a major foundation of public trust, integrity. And I believe that integrity is also the cornerstone of good governance. Yeah, in terms of transparency in government, we try to... you know, these are the challenges that we have to face, you know, being transparent.
Well, coming on BFM is part of that transparency.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for sharing, you know, lifting the veil on how government operates.
We are cutting or improving our transparency by automating our services. You know, they can have direct access to the government, government services. We also share our data. So I think in being transparent, we are doing our efforts, you know.
Would a Freedom of Information Act, as they are practiced in many advanced democracies, would that actually benefit us in terms of transparency?
Definitely, it will benefit. Yeah.
Is that something that your department is advocating, in Freedom of Information Act?
Yes, we are. We are promoting sharing of data by all the ministries. For example, on procurement, yeah, we have actually published all the tender results in the My Procurement portal, whereby we have about 15,878 tender results published under that My Procurement. And also on being transparent, all the corruption cases also have been speed up in terms of the prosecution and also on being held in court. So far, we have about 14 special session courts on corruption and also 4 special high courts on corruption. And the number of cases being settled by these courts have also increased from years. Yeah, started in 2014, whereby 552 cases were settled. In 2015, it has increased to about 841. And recently, in 2016, there are about 939 cases being solved by the corruption courts. So I think the move for being transparent, yeah, I think it's being applauded by all the citizens that they want to see the government being more transparent. And automation is one of the efforts that we have done so far.
We have actually quite a few comments coming in on Twitter on the question of transparency. Navin Morgan has written in, as well as Nick Hasuddin. He's asked, why is government scared of being transparent? Do you get the feeling that, you know, since you've taken up the role as director, that public perception is still rather negative. Either there's a trust deficit or people think that government, despite all its efforts, and you just outlined some of the sterling efforts of government, that our government is scared of being transparent.
I would say that we're not scared of being transparent. It's just the perceptions, you know. Again, I would say that trust is very fundamental in building good perceptions about the government.
Do you think we'll have a trust deficit problem?
We might have that problem, but, you know, government is taking actions to reduce the trust deficit again. Yeah? But, you know, when we do our efforts, our initiatives, it's a long term and it should be a sustainable efforts. And a lot of the indexes on trust, on transparency is being based on perceptions. And you, as you know, perceptions is mostly influenced by current situations. So whatever we do, you know, the efforts, the initiatives that we have done so far, it must be sustainable and the ecosystem must be very supportive on good governance and includes institutionalizing all this integrity and good governance.
Maybe we could turn our attention to some of the challenges you face. We talked about earlier the inception of GITN. There was some pushback and it came from MACC. It came from NGOs that rallied in front of your offices and claimed that they were going to stop, you know, GITN from ever being established. But what about the other challenges that that are there? We just talked about the public perception issue. What are you finding as director of GITN? What are your main challenges? Is there a reluctance on the part of, say, perhaps civil servants to get it, you know, to implement processes that would lead to more integrity or transparency or good governance?
Yeah, challenges is actually an opportunity for us to improve. Yeah, I would say that challenges in dealing with public perception mostly comes from meeting their expectations. You know, they want immediate results and immediate actions to be taken. But we have certain procedures to oblige, and it will take some time for the outcome to be materialized. In the implementation and also in terms of enforcement, I would say that enforcement is strictly under the purview of MACC. It has nothing to do with us. We don't do any enforcement. The challenges that I face in the implementation and also enforcement is in identifying and also training our chief integrity officers and other integrity officers to have the mindset of transformation. Transformation means you come up with better integrity and better governance initiatives to improvise the civil service. And we have limited options to bring in expertise also from the outside because of the budget, yeah, and also takes time.
I wanted to ask you on this question that you brought up earlier, the issue of human rights. You say it's part of your mandate to look at human rights issues. We do, of course, know that Suhakam recently suffered a massive cut in their budget. How are you dealing with your organization dealing with the human rights issues? What exactly are you doing on human rights?
Okay. That human rights section of GITN is actually to accommodate the appointment of our minister who also in charge of human rights. So we have Suhakam. You know, Suhakam is a commission. They act independently from the government.
But the commission had suffered a huge budget cut, didn't
it? Yes, yes. So what we do is in GITN, we consolidate or we are the focal agency for the human rights at domestic and also at international level. But we're working in close collaboration with Wisma Putra on the international issues of human rights. So that is a small section under GITN. But our bigger issues is on better integrity and governance. In fact, we have actually, we will start our big initiative, which is better integrity and governance in logistics sector. We have done it with the construction sector, with CIDB, and it is a great success. We have key indicators to measure the success of the big coalition that we already have with the construction sector. So we will emulate the same model to be applied to other sectors. And we would like to see that each ministry, each agency will come up with their own big initiatives. Big is BIG, better integrity and governance.
Oh, I see. I just thought you meant like huge.
No. It is a short form for better integrity and governance initiative.
We have a question here from Elvin Tan. It says, are more corruption cases being brought to court a good thing? It's a very straightforward question. Is it a good thing? I mean, is it? Because I think in the public eye, it does in fact suggest that action is being taken.
Yes.
But it also suggests perhaps the enormity of the problem. It's suddenly we have now numbers to show how corruption is, you know, what kind of corruption is taking place and exactly the modes. Do you think it's good for more publicity on these corruption cases?
Yeah, it's a name and shame. Yeah, it's name and shame for these corruption cases. I think it will trigger some alarm to the public or to the civil servants, the givers, the takers also, to actually take note of, you know, their actions and take that into consideration that, you know, once you are being caught, your name will be published. You bet. Name and shame, you know, all that will come in and you will suffer. So I think it's a good lesson to the giver and also to the taker.
I mean, just this week, there's been quite a bit of discussion about the need to focus on the givers rather than just the takers. What's your interpretation of this call for more action against givers?
So far, the government has engaged with Business Integrity Alliance, you know, to tackle the givers sector. And we have launched the Integrity Pact, the Corporate Integrity Pledge, and also recently we have started the ABMS, the Anti-Bribery Management System. It's a system being adopted in Malaysia, and we have certified about 12 agencies, ministries and companies who has completed the exercise of being certified under this MS ISO 37,000. So this is anti-bribery management system.
Last question for you, Puan Zaida. Which are the murkiest, most problematic, potentially most corrupt ministries or departments in the country? Where is it that you think a light needs to be shone?
No, I'm not in the position to name the most corrupt ministry.
You're going to name and shame a corrupt ministry?
No, I won't do that. But, you know, we have indicators. We have SPRM, MECC. They have the tools to measure which ministry is the most corrupt. They do the ranking all the ministries. So we're not doing it. But further, we will have to set up a tools to measure the governance side of the ministries. Corruption, leave it to MECC.
Thank you very much. I've been speaking to Puan Zuraida Mohamed Issa, Director of the Jabatan Integriti in Tabe Urus, or the National Integrity and Good Governance Department under the Prime Minister's Department. I'm Sharad Kutan, and this has been The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.